I'm Filipina, American, and military brat and daughter of immigrants. There's a concept in our Filipino culture called kapwa. That is the understanding that the self exists in relation to others. There is this shared identity, or there's this interconnectedness. It's also that word interconnectedness also comes up in the B Corp community. Once I got a taste of what it meant to show up, knowing that my work could impact my neighbors and my neighbor's work could impact me, I knew that I wanted to do marketing in a different fashion, if that makes sense.
Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton, founder and CEO of Jailbreak Leadership. In Jailbreak Leadership, we unlock the power of AI by creating your AI strategy, streamline the technical and logistical implementation, and most importantly, guide the AI adoption of your team. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. If you have a passion beyond just making money in your business, how do you strategically express that desire in a way that enrolls and attracts the clients that you want? That's what we're going to explore today with an amazing guest who not only helps others with their strategic marketing, but is also walking the talk. Sarah Yasukuchi, welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me.
Sarah is a marketing strategist and founder and CEO of House Collective, where they bring structure to complex marketing efforts and help move initiatives forward with clarity and consistency. But talk about walking the talk. House Collective is a certified B Corporation, women's business enterprise, women-owned small business, minority business enterprise, certified California green business, BBBA certified, and BBB for goods verified. I mean, you got a lot going on there, girl. And let's just keep going. And Sarah has been recognized as the 2025 BBB Torch Award winner for ethics, 2025 San Diego Business Journal Business Woman of the Year finalist, 2026 Point Loma Nazarene University Alumni Spotlight Award recipient. I'll take a breath now.
And the list goes on.
Yeah. All these things you got done in 2025. What are you going to do this year?
You know, it's probably the first time that we documented all of our wins. So really proud of it.
It's got to feel pretty good, huh? You've done a lot of good stuff there. So Sarah, it's kind of weird. I think we've been in the same room a lot and somehow never actually came together. So that's kind of weird. But we came together here recently. I was moderating a panel here at the BBB on leading a purposeful business. How do we do that? Yes. And you were one of the panelists. And so we got connected there. And I said, man, we got to get you in the show. You're the only person on the panel who hasn't been on the show. So here we are.
Yes. Build better business.
I always like to start with, why do you do what you do? What's the story behind the story?
Sure. Well, I think you've mentioned some of our trust marks and our partnerships and all of that. But I guess I'll start with, you know, House Collective, we're certified B Corp. We're a marketing firm based here in San Diego. And I have 20 years under my belt in corporate marketing and marketing leadership positions. So I take a little bit of the executive point of view into my entrepreneurial journey. And I'm also an educator. I teach, I build curriculum around business strategy and marketing. It's been 10 years now. We'll celebrate 10 years next year with House Collective. And it's certainly not something that I set out to do. I thought I would be in corporate marketing forever until I couldn't do it anymore and stepped out 10 years ago to pursue this. And I think a part of what's helped us grow through the years is really understanding how we want to show up in our community and who we want to serve.
But why?
Why?
Why? You avoided the question. You told me a lot of like, here's what we're doing, but why are you doing this?
Well, why marketing or why marketing the way we do?
Yes, yes. Why are you doing it the way you do it? There's a lot of marketers out there. And why are you doing it this way? Where the B Corp and all these other good things and the purposeful business. And why are you doing this? What's the emotional, heartfelt part behind this?
After so many years experiencing marketing from different lenses, from small businesses to Fortune 500, Global 2000 corporations, you kind of see this from different angles. And there's a lot of folks out there who talk about doing marketing the right way. And what is that? For me, it's my culture and how that weaves in through my professional experience. I'm Filipina, American, and military brat and daughter of immigrants. There's a concept in our Filipino culture called kapwa, and that is the understanding that the self exists in relation to others. There is this shared identity, or there's this interconnectedness. It's also that word interconnectedness also comes up in the B Corp world and the B Corp community. And I think once I got a taste of what it meant to show up, knowing that my work could impact my neighbors and my neighbor's work could impact me, I knew that I wanted to do marketing in a different fashion, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So that's a little bit of the personal values. There's also an operating value that I've experienced through my professional career, again, in various sizes of organizations. But it's a concept called bayanihan. And basically, in the Philippines, if a house needed to be relocated for some reason, the entire community would come together. All of the members of the village would come to the home and literally put it on bamboo, on sticks, and lift it up together. And they all move it forward together to its new location as a community. And I think that's really symbolic of how House Collective shows up and how we can use kind of our superpower within the marketing world to all come together for one common purpose and then all move forward in the same direction to create that common goal. And that common goal typically for marketing is you're amplifying the work of others. There's nothing more that gives me more pride than knowing that my team and I are using our superpowers to amplify the good work of what other people are doing out there, whether it's a product-based business or service-related. But usually we find ourselves in values and mission alignment with folks who are doing good work around sustainability, culture, or community impact.
There you go. I love that. So what is your superpower?
Oh, gosh.
The collective superpower.
My superpower is around strategic marketing, that tying back to even my global experience of being the daughter of, immigrants and also having that military background and experience. We got to travel the world and we got to see how other communities communicated their products and services and how they helped each other from a strategic lens is what I can offer and how I empower the folks that we partner with. And it also comes back to the foundational piece of, I guess, responsible marketing of, well, let's start by taking a look at your marketing strategy to understand what's working really well now and what can help take your business, your product, your impact further before we tinker around with all of the other things. 2026, so we have so many other things in our toolbox.
I know, it's kind of overwhelming at the end of the day. How many things can you do, right?
There's a lot. And I think there's a misconception really of like, okay, well, let me find that one thing that will...
That's what we're all looking for, Sarah. We're all looking for that little thing that boom, it's going to make me famous, viral, whatever. My clients are calling me. I'm not calling them. That's the thing we're all looking for.
And I think it's a real disservice to maybe make that promise or, there's a lot of good marketing agencies and firms out there and consultants out there who really have had success in whatever that one thing is. And yes, in some ways it can be replicated, but I really come from the camp of, and again, because I was a general marketer for many years in corporate and big and small size businesses, my experience is if we don't start with a foundational piece of strategy, then really we're just kind of taking a guess at what that next best step is. But if we all start from a good foundation of identifying where the gaps are, where we need to bridge, what's been working really well now, how we can maneuver and change with market or with innovation and technology, then we set ourselves up better for success. And we've really seen the results of that over the last 10 years and the 20 years in marketing or in corporate. And I think that's something that's really important. Without that strategy, you're really trying things out. It's part of how we show up with responsible marketing, what we call our responsible marketing policies that we share and are transparent with our partners.
So what do you mean by responsible marketing? What is that?
We became certified B Corp in the fall of last year.
Which our audience knows what that is, I hope. Yeah. That's the regulatory body that really looks at how you do your business and how you're doing it appropriately and actually measures it. And it's really difficult to get.
Absolutely. But there are a lot of resources and a lot of tools that they offer for support for those who want to pursue that. And I would highly recommend it. It's so rewarding. But it is something that, as a third party, they take a look at how you operate day to day, not just what you say about what you do, but how you do it. And it really challenges us to document things and put things in processes to identify what we were doing well and in service to our customers, in service to people and planet, and where we can improve and grow. And part of that was the development of a responsible, ethical marketing policy.
It goes well being a marketing company.
It does, but it's not something I think that we had always done, but never
wrote it down,
captured it, to make it an official thing. And I think once we did that, it made it a lot more clear. Really, what that means is we are good stewards of data, because data is important and often shared with us as a partner. And we're transparent about what people share with us, and also encourage the clients who collect data from their customers and clients that they become good stewards of data also. It means we operate with transparent communication and are really ensuring that we and our clients come to the table with not just the positives of something, but also the potential negatives and the trade-offs, right, that not everyone is transparent about. Upholding your promise and just ensuring, marketing can get funny a little bit, where we get requests of like, can you just advertise or say that we do this? Well, do you do that? No.
Seriously, you have people say that?
We do, but they want to say that they do because they are well-intentioned and they know it gets the clicks or it gets the view or it's what everybody's talking about. But really, we have to remind them, okay, but at the end of the day, if we're letting people down, it's not something that we want to widely promote,
yes,
right? So let's really make sure we set the right expectations, because that's what will set up a sustainable long-term partnership. And that's what we help do for the people that we work with. And so that really was, you know, the catalyst for that was B Corp certification, which interestingly enough, we became B Corp certified 1 week after our BBB Ethics Torch Award.
Really?
And so that was just a real
big week.
It was a big week. But I think it was also great validation that businesses can show up and be a force for good.
Yes.
And that there were rooms and spaces and communities that really welcomed businesses like ours. The only way to sum it up is like, I kept thinking that week was like, gosh, I found my people.
I love that. Yeah, I actually had the opportunity last week. I was invited by the BBB to be a judge for this year's upcoming Torch Awards. So I sat in a room all day long and people came in and gave their quick 15-minute presentations, sharing their company, their whys, how they're impacting their customers, their clients, and all these kind of, and their employees, and what they're doing in the community. And just left the day going, actually energized. I mean, it was a long day. It started like at 8 o'clock to like 4:30, but so inspired by just hearing what people are doing out there. And it's like all kinds of businesses. There's no specific, but I mean, it's from the plumbers to the rehab businesses to you name it, healthcare, all kinds of stuff. But people are doing some amazing work out there in our community.
Absolutely. I had the honor of joining one of the other regions also, too. I wasn't in the room, but I was kind of behind the scenes looking through the applications.
Yes. And I didn't sign up for that project. That didn't sound like a Jeff thing to me at all. But sitting and listening to people talk and asking questions, that's completely up my alley.
That's totally. Absolutely.
It's kind of like being in this room right here doing a podcast.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is a great reminder that there's also a lot of businesses and people out there who are showing up with values, with integrity. They are showing up responsibly and doing
more. I think
more
most businesses want to do well. That's my belief. They may not have all the lingo or certifications.
Right,
but they're doing the work. And when you get a chance to put them in a room and go, so why do you do what you do? And what are you doing? You go, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a lot of fun. So give me a great story. Give me your best story of here's marketing the way it's supposed to work and how you planned it, how you got the strategy, and how it turned into like an amazing outcome. Got one of those for me, Sarah?
Oh, gosh.
Who's your favorite client?
Oh, God, we have so many.
Come on. It's like kids. You know, you got one. Come on.
No. I have two and I love them. And two dogs, too. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, I do have several. Our favorite clients are the ones that some of them are B Corp certified already. Some of them carry other trust marks that, again, it doesn't have to be an entirely long list. But they are the ones that from the get-go, we've understood and it's been clear that we're in values alignment.
Yes.
Which means that we connect often, we communicate transparently, we understand and collaborate and are more partners than a vendor-client relationship or business-customer relationship. I think our biggest compliment has been you feel like an extension of our existing teams. Because we truly, at the end of the day, care about what's good for the business. And I think an example of that is, I mean, one business in San Diego we were with for a good 5 years. and we supported their business through a big growth that eventually led to a merger and acquisition. And that's a big feather in our cap. So
they got acquired, or they did the acquisition?
They got acquired. And okay. Eventually.
At an exit. All right.
Yeah. And a successful exit and retirement after 30 years of business ownership. We ended up walking away. But I mean, at the close of that partnership, it was a multi-figure business. And so something that we're really proud of, and also touched the sustainability space, was clean energy. So solar, battery storage, home services, which is important to us because sometimes marketing doesn't always show up the way that, at least from my lens, should be communicated and activated. So that was a long-term partnership. We also have a long-term partnership with friends in Hawaii it's been 4 or 5 years now. Same with Oregon. And I guess all of our partners have just they've been around for a long time.
So that's kind of interesting. So you have an existing business and then you show up to help them. So walk me through a little bit. Like, what does that look like?
Usually there is an existing business and they're looking either to expand or grow, or maybe they're introducing a new service or wanting to get into a new market. And they've probably done all of the marketing things. In the San Diego case, even I remember them saying, well, we've tried marketing all different ways and we've not really had anybody say, okay, well, let's start with strategy and let's really build the foundational piece, because we're an existing business. We already have that. But it is so fast moving. I mean, even then, and especially now, where, again, there's new technology, there's new channels, there's new ways of presenting your business out there. There's multiple trust marks. And so how do we know what's working and what's not? So it takes what I like to say, like when you're in the bottle, it's hard to see the label. But when you step out of that bottle and you can see the label a little more clearly, and that's what I'm able to do with our partners, and come from that background again of maybe the executive level, but the entrepreneurial spirit. And as an educator too, having researched and built and contributed to curriculum and research in the academic space. And so I think just having that partner to collaborate with has been really special, and really has led to the success that we've had with our partners. And I think maybe that's what I'm proud of, is that they stick around for a while. The last time I looked up is that the average marketing team sticks around for about 3 months, 60, 90 days, and then folks move on because they want to try something else. And we have our client community made up of folks who've been around for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and on. Or they're not with us, but they come back anytime they need additional support. It's because, too, you know, when you're operating from the corporate standpoint, you have the luxury and capacity of multiple teams and bigger budgets and opportunity to A/B test things. When you step out into small, mid-sized business, like every dollar counts, right?
And time more than anything. That is the toughest for small businesses.
Absolutely. And your capacity. And maybe it's resources in terms of budget, or it's resources in terms of people. And so that kind of baseline approach, the foundational pieces, and making that really strong first is what also helps sustain.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So can I put you to work here for a moment?
Okay.
You can demonstrate what we're talking about here. So you had mentioned something I'm doing. So I'm kind of coming up with a new product from Jailbreak Leadership here. And who am I not to jump into the AI game? I mean, if you're not an AI, who are you these days? But I am like totally drawn to the idea that leaders are completely missing the target of how important this is, how much leadership transformation is going to go on. I mean, we're essentially saying we're going to redesign how we do work. I don't know if it's going to take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5, 10, whatever, however you believe in AI, but ultimately it's here and it's coming, and it really leads to we're going to do work differently. And so if I got a crew of people working for me, that's my responsibility to leader say, we're going to go through a major change here. And so how do we make that happen? And oh, by the way, there may be some changes of jobs or whatever. Some people may go away as well. How am I going to manage through that? I believe I'm like with you. We need to have an AI strategy. So I look at clients today. They're just like throwing things against me. Yeah, we're doing it. We're trying some stuff. There's no strategy. Let's step back and go, what are we really trying to achieve? What should this look like 2 to 3 years from now based on what we know, and where do we start? And then how do you provide some help technically? So we got that. I put a team together for this. But the big part is people adoption. How are we going to make this happen with the people? That's where my interest is always lie. And so it's kind of funny. My last guest came in here. He was a B Corp, created a unicorn. Right. And he gave me his book. I started reading his book and I go, Jeff, you forgot to come up with a higher purpose for this thing I'm doing. So my whole life has been built on building a higher purpose for my project, my business, or whatever. And I realized I kind of missed the target. So I spent a bunch of time with AI sitting here kind of going, what is this I'm trying to create here? Because I really think we're talking about transforming what work looks like, sure, the work experience. moving that statistics from 80% people hate going to work or don't find meaning in work to like, what if AI actually changed that equation, could flip that around? So that's kind of my whole idea behind this is how do we change the how the work experience looks like? So I got this little team. That's my thought. And I go, all right, Sarah, how the hell do I take this to the marketplace? What guidance would you give me?
Gosh.
What questions would you ask me? And where do we start? Where do we go?
What problem are you trying to solve with AI?
What I'm trying to solve is that we're in change how work looks like. So I want to solve the problem where the statistic says that the majority of people don't find work meaningful. I believe this is an opportunity to redesign work to make work meaningful for people.
So do you have a platform now?
Nope, we're creating it. So I brought two guys into the business. I got a technical guy to help us with which tools should we be using? How do we integrate it into their current systems? Those kinds of things. And I have an organizational development guy for help me with the people side. And I do strategic planning. I'm a facilitator.
And what's the promise at the end of the day?
Our client?
Yeah.
The promise would be that they get clarity about where they're going with their AI strategy. They actually have a strategy that they can walk out and projectize. And they're going to have a plan on how they're going to deal with their people, how they're going to roll people into the process in a way that the people become part of the solution and help redesign what the work's going to look like in the future so they have ownership over it. And then provide technical support as we go. We'll help them with the implementation.
And is there a specific niche or space industry that you are reaching out to start?
I'm just going out into the marketplace and seeing who's interested. I'll give you a little validation. So when I talked to all these people last week at the BBB thing, and I said jailbreak leadership, and I do AI implementation and adoption, I got lots of positive feedback. We got that. We're working on that. A few people go, oh, I need to talk to you. There's a need out there. People are getting this. Like, okay, how do we actually use this thing? But I want to elevate it from not like, let's just like slam the thing in like another tool, but kind of that whole redesign for people, change the way work looks like for folks.
Are the people that you're reaching out to a specific size? If they're not in a specific space, are they a specific size?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So my first target in July 21st, you heard it here first. We're going to have an event here at the BBB for CEOs and business leaders and founders.
Okay.
They have this conversation, an hour facilitated conversation around this. So I'm reaching out to all my past podcast guests, my network, and then my partners' networks.
Are they the decision makers?
Yes.
Are they the ones who would be the most impacted by the service that you provide?
Ultimately, because we believe we're going to help them redesign their business around AI.
Their entire business changes.
How they get work done is going to change.
From department to like across departments.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So my idea is instead of just going, oh, manager's going to go, we're going to slam some tool in over here because it makes sense. I'm going to go back to my days of implementing Deming and quality management. We brought people from the shop floor in to kind of say, how do we solve problems? We had tools, we educated, and we say, all right, we got problems on the shop floor. How do we collectively figure out how to fix these things? Kind of the same idea. Let's bring all the people into the fray. Not all people, but if you have a department of 10, like, who are the two people we can bring into a meeting to say, all right, no one knows more about your work than you do. Here's what AI can do and how it works, and then facilitate a conversation. Where can we start to apply this here in a way that they're redesigning their own work?
So across departments. So you would bring those stakeholders into a room and say that, how can we help you implement AI for accounting or, you know,
you're the accountants. Yeah. If we educate you first on what these tools can do as we know them today, what do you hate doing today, Sarah? You know, that kind of question. What kind of work? If you didn't have to do this, you got to do this.
Right.
How can we do that? And can AI help solve that problem?
And then you would move into legal and then you would move into marketing. Is that
right? We'll pick the first project with a big ROI and all that kinds of good stuff, right? That's part of it. How do we start?
That helps me step into a little bit of like your team side and like how you would show up. But I guess I'm stepping now into your potential client side and trying to understand. I would want to know what it is that you bring to the table, you and your team, and why I'm choosing you over your competitor. Do you have competitors now or doing something similar?
I haven't seen people really working so much on the people side. I see people coming in and saying, we'll help you implement tools, looking at AI as a tool. And I want to take a strong lead on the whole side of like, we're going to transform how work gets done here in the organization and really take the people side into effect.
Do you have a case study or an example of how you've done that already, even from a small?
Not an AI.
I think that would be valuable to demonstrate a performance, even in some fashion, with either team members who've done it or piloting, finding a pilot partner.
This is like classic, right? I went to my wife and said, who runs around in profit? She's got X amount of employees. Yeah. I said, hey, let us come in. We'll use our stuff on yours. And she goes, well, we're implementing a CRM right now. We don't have time for that. There's your small business mindset.
CRM is also AI. I mean, there are aspects of it.
It's another tool. Yeah, it's a tool.
Another tool.
But implementing a CRM is similar. If you're in a larger organization, implementing a CRM and changing the way people do work requires people adoption. Most projects fail due to people, not because of technology.
So you're looking to focus more on the people side.
Yes.
And so
A, having a strategy, figure out what you really want to do. So I think it's really important. Just like your business. Let's not just start throwing things against the wall and hope for the best. Let's actually step back and ask ourselves, who do we want to be?
Right.
And based on what we know about this tool, where could we go with this?
Right.
So that's step one. And step two is recognizing that your people are probably the biggest factor in your success in the future. That's my belief. That's my core belief. It's about people. And so then three becomes the tool. So what's the right tool for the right place?
So now my brain goes to making sure the values alignment is really there from the jump, because there is leadership out there who believe that AI can bring them cost efficiency.
Yes.
And so there's transition happening with the thought that AI replaces the people.
Yes.
And so I guess another thing I would be curious around is there's a B Corp, for example, that I met in Milwaukee when we were there for Champions Retreat, who is introducing AI with the goal of not replacing a single seat. And that I thought was a really inspiring way to look at it, and also different from the headlines that we see today.
Right. That's right? Actually what we're fighting against, because you bring this in an organization, we're bringing AI, and it's fear. Everything I read about says I'm going to lose my job. Yeah. I don't think that's the case. How do you communicate that? How do you make that happen?
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to that values alignment of identifying the businesses like hers that have, you know, I think she mentioned like 500 people on their team. It's a global book distributor. And how do we introduce innovation without fear of my job is being replaced?
Yes.
And how do we get these folks on board so that they're using it as an extension of their own capacity?
Exactly.
Versus a replacement.
To enhance their work, make work better for them.
Correct.
Rather than, I like this idea of this picture I saw of AI, where you're like the conductor, where it's your assistant, it's your knowledge guy, it's your, I forget the four, but anyways, it's like, it's almost like you now have this intern working for you, super brilliant. Your job now looks completely different. Now I'm managing this other person. Yeah. Like that changes things. So the stuff I didn't like to do, if I can manage this accordingly, it could look entirely different.
Yeah. And that's a great point too, because when we encourage folks to use AI or talk about how they can introduce it to their day, a lot of it is encouraging them to train it similarly as they would a new team member.
What? So you can replace me? That's what the first question comes out of your mouth. So.
I mean, it would be like, you know, you would train a new team member or an intern. You can't.
It's about how you frame the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've been doing strategic projects my whole life. Strategic projects are always about change and how do you enroll people in this? And so I'm looking at AI being the one that actually changes the equation about meaningful work.
Yes.
Because the statistic of 80% of people not finding meaning at work has been the same for like 30 years since Gallup started this thing. Is this the time? Can we change this? And can jailbreak leadership be able to take a lead in that?
Yeah.
So to answer your question in regards to who's my target, well, all my podcasts guests are all purposeful, conscious capitalism, BBB, Torch Award winner type people. So that's my target. Those are the people that get... They're about purposeful business and their people and doing good things in the community. So
Perfect. That's
my target.
So I would tap one of them and see who was on board to pilot this, knowing that from leadership, there is already an identified goal to keep as many seats as possible without having AI replace their job. And I think that's where you can pull and glean the results, the case studies, and also formulate, I guess, your game plan and framework of what's the easiest win? Where do we see the best outcomes? Where do we start? Whether it's accounting or marketing or whatever that looks like for that specific organization. And also, I think, would give you a great framework in terms of who your service could best benefit in terms of that industry or that niche or that space. I don't know if this is what you're getting at, but
yeah. No, I was putting the test here. I mean, one of my things is in the podcast, I want this to be educational. So I thought this would be kind of fun just to put like a real problem on the table here and play around a little bit. So,
yeah. Well, and I mean, maybe that's a good way to kind of share a little bit about how we work, knowing that we start with strategic marketing. Like we have what we call our engagement as a blueprint strategic plan. And part of that is we're gathering information and pulling as much data as possible.
Right, and we're trying to do this real time on a podcast.
Absolutely.
So. not easy.
Once we pull, then our team goes to work in terms of identifying if there are no competitors out there, a like product or service, so that we have a baseline. And again, it's because we don't have the deep pockets of, you know, a focus group and bringing folks in or A/B testing everything. But We take a look at what's happening in the market, the competition, what you're doing well already, if there are any examples of that, even within your team, if it's something new. And then we're pulling those puzzle pieces, so to speak, all together and laying them out on the table. And many times you have the puzzle pieces in place. We just haven't really captured it.
Right. My technical team has already been doing applications. Perfect. So we're elevating what they're doing. We want to show up in a bigger, broader way. Absolutely. I mean, that's really what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So we've got examples of him doing work and going in and having success stories.
Perfect.
But again, we want to back this up and take it to a higher level and say, yeah, but what's your overall strategy?
Yeah.
Versus, oh, we had a problem that we want to throw AI at.
Yes.
And they come in and they help with the technical implication of that. It's like, no, let's talk about the bigger strategy.
Yeah.
And let's talk about people as part of that larger strategy.
Yeah.
How are we going to do the people part?
Yeah. So you got to just take those puzzle pieces.
And the people part of like my past bunch of years, plus bringing in a PhD OED person to help with that as well.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're taking those puzzle pieces and already kind of aligning them, right?
We're trying.
To paint the bigger picture so that it becomes more clear.
Yes.
To potential clients and partners of why they need to jump on board with this.
And the validation, what you're saying is talking to the right people. People already get it. So like my people are important. My whole goal is not here to eliminate all the people in my business from some fantasy, but how can I actually keep all my people and evolve this thing and grow the business in a significant way?
Yeah. Yeah.
And beat up my competitors, right? I mean, still at the end of the day, that's still the game. So.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is I think a lot of folks out there may be doing something similar. And so then it becomes a factor of like, well, how do you do it differently?
Right.
And what are your trust marks? And what are the stories that make you the best choice for this particular role? And so, whether it's a partner or a team member, absolutely.
And that's what you guys would help develop, is pull all that out.
Yeah.
Shine a light on certain things that maybe I didn't think was important. You go, no, that's really important. There's a great story over there.
Well, and then you've got to line it all up also with timing, right? Because there's also so much we can do within a given amount of time.
Right.
And so once all those puzzle pieces are in place and paints a better picture, I mean, then we have to look at, well, what do we do today that really moves the needle? What do we do for 0 to 3 months and then 3 to 6 months? And then let's keep it going because it's not a one-shot thing. And so what we're trying to build is this playbook that really sustains and kind of ensures that you have those foundational pieces and you can identify and clearly see, okay, what's my next best step so that you can activate that. And whether you're activating that with your team or with your partner or with AI, then that's something that we take into account too. And so, and with the introduction of AI, I've talked about the ethical marketing policy, but we also have an AI use policy, which is human first touch, human last touch. And depending on the scope of work, it's a lot of human touches in between. And that's really important too, of being transparent of how ensuring that our partners understand where innovation and technology live within our space and how we're serving. So the way House Collective shows up in June 2026 is that we're a combination of both. We take, like, our architecture includes frameworks from human insight plus AI information. It's AI still remains the tool and humans still remain the driver.
Love that. Well, hopefully everybody gets a sense for who you are and how you work and what's important to you and why they should hire you. I love it. Believe it or not, we got to put a bow on this thing already.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you start solving problems, time flies by. I always like to conclude with one big question. What's the big idea? If someone didn't remember anything out of this podcast, what's the one thing you want to remember, Sarah?
If we're able to use our business as a vehicle to amplify the good work of others, to be good members of the community, to all come together when it's needed to lift up whatever's required and move it all forward in the same direction so that we get to the same place. I think that's the goal.
What's the word for that?
Yeah, that's bayanihan.
There you go. That's the word for the day. And I love that. I mean, I think that's one of the core principles I believe in, is that as business leaders, our business is a platform for doing something bigger and grander than just making money and producing the product or service we got. There's always some bigger opportunity there if we're looking for it.
Absolutely.
And that's who we are.
Yeah.
And that's who our audience is. So awesome. Well, Sarah, I appreciate you coming in. Appreciate all the great work you're doing. Appreciate you giving me a little coaching here today. And yes, please talk to Sarah. If you got some marketing issues, she's the lady to talk to. So
thank you.
Well, that's our show for the day. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks for our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, eLocal, and Cause San Diego, who are all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go what you do best. We're all counting on you.